Oh, you're on.
Okay. I am on.
Shanna, the mic.
Good evening, calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for Oceano Community Center. Oceano Community Special Districts, excuse me. Please stand and join me in the flag salute. I'm doing everything backwards. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, if you'd do the roll call, Gina, I would appreciate it.
President Mann?
Here, I think.
Vice President Hill?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Luthy?
Here.
Okay. Now we'll go to public comment, and this is the Oceano Community Service District. So is there any public comment? Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Seeing no public comment, board member items for discussion. Pamela?
Well, yes, I wanted to speak to what we found on our desk this evening.
Okay.
And it's the Proposition 1A suspension, and that means it was ordered by the governor. Proposition 1A is property tax money, and department. So that property tax money, I'm told, for us means about $60,000 this year. So I just wanted to let everybody know it's tightening down and squeezing, and every little penny is going to be used elsewhere when we really can use it here. And I'm sorry to see that happen. I didn't think it was going to happen, but that's where we stand.
Jim?
I certainly share Pamela's concern in that the state has overrun their budget very badly, and they're going to, in turn, take money from the local area where we need to be able to support our fire department and street lighting, which are the services that are based on property taxes here. So we will continue to manage, but that will definitely impact our operations. I also wanted to comment, since I was not here at the last meeting, a couple of things that happened during the last meeting. First of all, our board voted to join with the cities of Royal Grande and Grover Beach in going forward with the investigation of the Joint Powers Authority for the fire department. I very strongly support that and was very happy to see that that vote went forward unanimously on our part and joined the other communities. So I was delighted to see that. There's a lot of people that have worked really hard on that. Chief Mike Hubert, Steve Adams from Arroyo Grande, Bob Peralta of Grover Beach. All of the fire department staff in the three communities have worked really hard to bring this together. And it's a benefit to every member of the community. Those people do a great job for us on a daily basis. And the people, and also Kevin Walsh for his part in helping the negotiations along with that. Has been a great effort on a part of a number of people, and I think the people in Oceano as well as the other cities owe those people quite a bit for working that to a ongoing success, and we wish them all the best as they continue to pursue success in those efforts. One other thing that happened at the meeting, the last meeting, was some issues related to our weed abatement program. And I think there's been some public concern on that for some of the actions that were taken. I'd like to talk to our general manager about that, and I think the board is committed to doing that. So those are the comments that I had.
Okay, I'll jump in here. Continuing
where Pamela left off about Proposition 1A. This 8% is taken after the ERAF shift. So we really are getting hit twice on that, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And
can I ask that you let the general public know what that is that you just said?
ERAFT.
ERAFT. Well, a lot of people don't know what it means.
What it is, education. it's been so many years.
Economic
recovery.
Recovery appropriation fund?
Yeah. Or something like that.
So it's something close to that.
Yeah, they hit us a number of years on that, and we never got any of that paid back.
The first go-around on it, I think, was in 87.
Yeah, so that's how long ago it was. That's why I just have always heard ERAF. Probably really didn't know what it stood for. the state can borrow from us now on 1A twice in 10 years. But they have to pay back the first one before they borrow the second one. It'll be off of the 2008-2009 property tax revenues, which would be paid to us in January, before January 2010 and before May 2010. So, in other words, the money that we're going to have for the budget this year is going to be less the 8%. Let's see what else on here. They just deduct it from what they would pay us. We don't write them a check. They just reduce the property tax by the amount, by the 8%. There is something about that you can apply for an exemption, a hardship exemption. But you have to be in bankruptcy or close to bankruptcy. So we're not bankrupt. So that probably won't work for us. But we will certainly be looking at everything, trying to do everything. Mary?
I do have a couple things I want to mention about this. Is that I'm sorry that that our fire department's funding isn't more diversified. And if anybody in that division has any ideas on how we maybe can diversify the money a little bit. So the $60,000 doesn't just come out of that department. I don't know if that could be done or not. And that if with this decrease, is it going to affect the other JPA members, because they're cities and we're unincorporated, and so their budgets are more diversified for their fire departments, where ours is relatively narrowly defined. So we're going to need a new budget for that, most definitely quickly. Seeing where, you know, I don't know how you pick the bones any cleaner, but the 60 has to come from somewhere. Secondly, I'd like to challenge you, Barbara, on the hardship exemption. I always think that when you're going into applying for a hardship, you should go into it of a mindset that I will get this, not as defeated. So what it says is, how does my district apply for a hardship exemption? Well, our district does apply for a hardship exemption. And if you're basing it just on foreclosures or whatever's happening in what's that other district that's bankruptcy, right? But that's not what this says. It says a written request must be received by the District of Finance by October 15th. The Director of Finance may approve or reject the request for hardship. And then it goes on to give by November 15th. The Director of Finance may not grant decreases in the suspension amount that totals more than 10% of the combined SHIP. Well, we have the highest unemployment rates in the county of San Luis Obispo. We have the highest foreclosure rate in the county of San Luis Obispo. Most of the construction workers that are laid off right now reside in Oceano. So I do think that we should apply for a hardship. But I would also like an action item on that. So, you know, if we can move to have staff begin drafting a letter.
No, we can only give them a consensus. I think we can't take an action item on this. It wasn't on the agenda.
Well, that happens all the time. But that would be a Robert's rule we don't usually follow.
I'm sure our general manager will look at this closely and apply for anything that we will try to and get any help we can.
Secondly, also, can we have it reflected in the minutes that we don't have a general manager? Our interim general manager is not here tonight, and it wasn't caught in the roll call. It was just the board members who did roll call, not the staff.
It is. I believe roll call is generally just the board members.
Right, but I think it's a really important point to note that your general manager is not in the meeting.
Unfortunately, he is ill tonight.
And my sympathy goes to him.
All right, so when he comes back, or when I come back on Monday, I'll talk to him about this. I was looking actually at the paragraph above the one you were reading, Mary, where it says whether the director of finance may consider granting a full or partial decrease in the property tax amount shifted based on certain factors, including, but it's not limited to, but there's where it says, whether the local agency is the subject of a current bankruptcy proceeding or whether the property tax shift will likely cause the local agency to seek bankruptcy protection, and whether the local agency has any financial reserves and whether the full property tax shift would impair the ability of the local agency to provide a basic level of core public service. So we certainly will move forward. Sorry you felt I was thinking gloom. We will try for anything that will help us.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Review and approval of the minutes. Did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes?
There are no minutes.
There are no minutes. Okay, then we didn't have a chance to look at them. I thought that they were being done and would...
Had a rash of thefts from unlocked vehicles, predominantly in the 2400 block of Cienega during the last month. This has also been going on also at up in the Black Lake area, Black Lake Golf Course and residences. So I will take this opportunity to remind everybody, please lock your vehicles, and if you can, remove any valuables that are in the vehicle. That makes it a less tempting target for a thief. We are also working on trying to capture those individuals responsible for this, and hopefully we'll have some luck in that area here shortly. On August 7th at about 8:20 in the evening, we had a battery incident that occurred in the street in front of the Oceano Post Office. One subject was punched and kicked by three other males in a appeared to be in a Suburban. We're currently involved in investigating that incident, and it does appear to be related to a road rage incident that occurred in Oceano at the same time. On August 5th at about 12:45, we had a juvenile fight occur in the alley of the 2100 block of Beach, between Beach and Cienega. The victim was, and I use this term because he used it, jumped by two individuals. Right now we're still investigating that. We've identified the suspects. We're trying to locate them so we can question them and then file appropriate charges in that situation. The only other item I have is we had a burglary at the frontage self-storage at 528 Division over in Napomo, and that occurred between July 25th and August 3rd. We had three guns, a coin set, and some guitars stolen. And lucky for us, Pismo Police Department pulled over the subject who had those items, and he was subsequently arrested. So we were able to recover all the items that were taken. And it was kind of an interesting case because it was a storage locker, and the subject who stole the items had the storage locker next door to his, and he had made entry through the wall into this victim's storage locker and took the items out of there. So that's the first time I've seen that happen. That's a new one. But we were able to recover all the victim's property. And that's all I've got this evening, if anybody has any questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
No.
Any questions from the public?
Guy was like blatantly selling crystal meth out of the back of his truck down the street. I got four different phone numbers. And so, you know, I know that one's a 2100 number, and then I somehow was given, I even called here asking for the phone number, and they offered to call for me. I never got a call back, you know, and then I got another phone number, and that was the Grover Beach Police Department, and they said, oh, this is Grover Click, you know, so maybe you can announce, like, you know, a number where, like, you know, like if somebody, you know, is bleeding or something like that, you know. I mean, because we're having a really hard time getting a response. And you know this because I've talked to you about it one-on-one.
Sure.
And I don't know if you're cut back on staff or if it's new staff, but it seems like they're not quite sure where to go or what's going on. And I don't know what's going on.
Well, as far as the numbers go, let me boil it down to three numbers. The first one is our station next door, which during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, the phone is monitored. And that's 473-7100. Excuse me. Now, also, if you call that number after hours, it automatically transfers to our dispatch center, and you'll get one of our dispatchers.
And when you say hours and after hours, you say 9 to 5, right?
Right. Okay. 8 to 5. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Now, it'll transfer you automatically to our dispatch center. However, you can dial that number directly for our dispatch. And that is 781-4550. Now, if somebody's bleeding or if it's an emergency, and I think everybody knows this number, it's 911.
Okay.
And that will put you directly into our dispatch center immediately so that we can get their help there as quickly as possible.
So there's two numbers?
Yes. One for our station and one for dispatch.
Okay.
And those are the only numbers you need to reach the Sheriff's Department.
And then 911 is for the
landline.
Yeah, landline only, and then cell phones go to the Highway Patrol.
The way it's currently set up, the 911 call from your cell phone will go to CHP. We're currently working on redirecting those calls so they will go directly to the Sheriff's Department unless they're within a very narrow
base. The fire department report for the month of July, please.
Fire department report for the month of July. During the month of July, the department responded to a total of 59 calls. 32 were in Oceano, 7 in Grover Beach, 3 in Arroyo Grande, and 9 were with CAL FIRE, 8 on the beach. Of the 32 calls in Oceano, 22 were EMS related, 5 fire, and 5 miscellaneous. This put the total as of this report to 475. This time last year, the call total was 433. As of today, we're at 507. A little bit ahead of last year. The department averaged 1.9 calls per day. The 4th of July was fairly low-key. However, we did run 13 calls after 5 p.m. on that weekend, on 4th of July, actually. Joint training with the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Fire Departments is continuing. The department's worked on fire ground operations, utilizing flag lots. We also did river and floodwater rescue training and mass casualty incidents, along with train derailments, aircraft incident and multi-car accidents. Under equipment, engine 61 was removed from service due to issues with the front and rear brakes. The rear brake shoes and drums and the front brake slack adjusters needed to be replaced. Both items were out of compliance with the Department of Transportation and the California Highway Patrol, and they have been replaced since. Engine's back in service. That concludes the report for the month of July. Any questions?
Are there any questions for Captain Bova?
How much more time do we have with our contract with the state parks?
I believe we're about halfway through. I think we have about 3.5 years left.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
I just think it's a big drain on your department, that's all. That's my only issue with it.
Are there any questions from the public? Seeing none.
Thank you for the report.
Thank you very much. The RFP for the engine exhaust removal system, are you familiar where?
I think it's in line, and so I was going to get back in communication with them tomorrow to tell them that we're good to go on it. And I would expect it would not take them very long to get the bid package together. Based on the size of the project, they may take the position that they either need to bring it to you for approval before it goes out, or we can just issue it. If it needs to come to you for approval, I would expect it at your next meeting.
Thank you.
And I think it did have to come to us for approval.
Well, the public works contracts bids are supposed to go normally go for approval, and that's the position I've taken. In a brief conversation with one of the people from Wallace a couple of weeks ago, he was kind of thinking maybe it didn't, but I think it probably should.
I think it should, too, since it's grant money, and I think we need to know what's going on, and we need to tell the public
so
what's going on.
I will communicate with them tomorrow. I hope that it will be on your next agenda. If it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen, I'll make sure that gets communicated back to the staff here.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Alex from the board? Any questions from the public? Alex. The MOU with fire captains. This gives me great pleasure. The memorandum of understanding, our board talked about it, directed staff on what we wanted done, and those things were done. So we now have a contract that we'll vote on between OCSD and the International Association of Firefighters, local number 4403. I'm sure the board has all looked at this. What? Did you say something?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hearing things, I guess. We've all looked at the contract. All the changes that we had requested were made. Everyone was happy with it. So I'll look for a motion. First, I guess I have to go to the public. Is there any comment from the public?
And in connection with that, I just wanted to call your attention to one thing. There was a letter provided by the firefighters. One of the things that warranted a great deal of discussion was the work schedules. And there was a lot of discussion, a lot of effort to try and make that come together, and by a lot of people, I think, trying to bargain in good faith to bring this to fruition for this interim period between now and the time when the JPA is ultimately formed. So I just wanted to make sure that was in the record.
Thank you. Are there any statements from the board? Comments? Any statements from the public?
Good evening, President Mann, members of the board. I'm John Bova. I'm a shop steward, Local 4403, Oceano Fire Station 61. And I just wanted to congratulate and thank all of you for plowing through this process. It was a new process for you all, organizing and negotiating this MOU for a labor unit that has never been done here at Oceano before. So I want to thank you for that. And the OCSD bargaining unit of Local 4403 is agreeing to accept this MOU in the interest of bargaining in good faith. We look forward to sitting down at the table to create the upcoming Joint Powers Authority MOU. Thanks.
Hey, I'm ready for a motion.
Just one brief comment that there was a lot of hard work on both sides with that, and it probably took a little bit longer than anybody anticipated, but it's worked out well. I'd be very pleased to move that we approve the memorandum of understanding as presented this evening.
I would second that.
I jumped in just before.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mary.
Okay, roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
President Mann?
With great pleasure, yes. So then we'll be signing the official one for you soon.
It's right here.
Actually, I'll probably sign it before I go home this evening.
You could do it right now.
Well, we'll move on, but I will sign it before I go home tonight, just in case I decide not to come back. Okay, 8A, the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains due to the earthquake. And we have this every time. Any comments from the board? Any?
Ready?
Please, yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Luthy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Okay, the next item, 8B, the Lopez Reservoir expansion, and I'm going to ask Pamela to speak to this, please.
This is regarding the spillway, raising of the spillway on Lopez Dam. And it was called the Obermeyer Gates, and it essentially is a continuation of the request for additional money to continue to participate in this. And at this point, we have the chance to either go on or opt out of continuing to participate in it. They're saying that at this point, it would. They're asking for $230 for studies, and it's about a $5 million project cost. Of that, I'd say two-thirds is probably EIR-related costs.
You meant
$230,000.
Yes.
$230,000. Yeah. Yes, $230,000 for the next study portion, and then $5 million for the for putting in the gates for the spillway raise. And you've probably read the Kevin's staff report on this. And one of the things he mentions at the end is that it is estimated that the project will increase the safe yield from the reservoir by 5.8%. When one considers that OCSD's share of the reservoir is 303 acre feet, that would calculate to an additional 17.6 acre feet of annual supply, not enough to significantly change our current 1,503 acre feet of total supply. And Kevin went on to say, if it should come to pass that OCSD needs to firm up our supply, our best alternative as we know it today would be to participate in the County of San Luis Obispo State Water Drought Buffer Program, since we're already a state water purveyor. And I agree with his assessment. This is a lot of money for very little water for us. And we're looking at now an 8% decrease in our property taxes.
Well, I see that AG and the other entities they're very vested in this extra water because they've far overbuilt what their capacity for water is. So. And, you know, they're willing to spend, you know, $20, $30, $40, $50 million. So what's to stop them from coming back and saying, Well, we don't care that you didn't participate in the study. Here's your share.
No, on this portion of the project, it is a participatory thing, and that's why this is coming to the board.
Okay, but this is just the study part.
The study is the next segment, and then the go-on part is the next segment.
Okay, so let's talk about the go-on part. The part where we're voted out. They're going to go on because they need to build a lip.
They'll pay the whole part, and they'll pay for the whole project.
Do we have that in writing? That the people who want this, that the people who don't want it are held harmless on this expense. We are in no way responsible for it.
I would have to go back and check the documents for Lopez, but the general principle is that you share costs based upon the original participation, and the way this would work now is the increase in capacity that would be created by doing this project, because they would bear all the cost, they get all the increase in capacity. And so once this project is completed, assuming that it occurs, then the percentages of everybody's share of the water generated by Lopez would change because of the increased cost that they've put into it.
So that for the excess, they would pay the total for the excess. What is happening?
But how can you prove the excess? How can you prove the excess when you have Mother Nature? You have that water going in to that reserve from many, many different directions. So it snows a little bit more 1 year. So it rains a little bit more 1 year, right? You have excess. Do they get 100% of it because they paid for something that didn't really contribute to the excess?
Well, determination, it's like $8,500 or something a year.
Right.
So that was the determination, what it could hold at the beginning, and we're part of that, what it could hold at the beginning, and where our portion is 303 acre feet of the whole total.
Okay.
That will not change unless there's a drought kind of thing when everybody
right.
is hurt.
Right.
But at this point, they want to know if we want to go on. Pismo Beach and Grover have decided they want to participate.
I bet they do.
But I'm not sure that Aurora Grande does.
I am so leery of Zone 3. You know, I think that we have been hoodwinked by them. The entire county, you know, the expense from what they said this original project would cost to what people are paying now, and now we're going to have to go back for a rate increase just to keep our pipes up, right? But that's another story. But I don't think that Zone 3 has been responsible nor wise with our dollar, nor have they been honest with the people about how that money's spent. Why the columns needed to be moved over 6 inches, and it cost us an extra millions and millions of dollars. So if I don't sound trusty, and it's because I'm not. So I really would like it in writing that if one of the bodies opt out, that in no way will they be held financially accountable, no matter what your budget comes in at.
And I think we can definitely ask for that. We can ask for a letter showing that we do not participate and we will not be held accountable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they wanted. And I agree with you that cost overruns have run rampant with the seismic retrofit for the dam and for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. And it seems like, you know, the county, who was the responsible party for oversight on this, let everything just run amok.
Yeah.
And it's very, very costly, and it is hurting all of us. And I think they could have been more prudent and more responsible how they did the oversight on the construction of both of those projects. But the damage is done. We are part of it, and we have to pay.
We want to stop the damage for the future, too.
Yeah, we don't, and that's why I'm recommending we do not participate any further in a spillway raise program. The other segment of this that besides we don't have money and all of this other, so since we are state water contractor, we can use the drought buffer program from the County of San Luis Obispo, something we're already paying for, and it's something out there for us that the other communities don't have the option for. So we have coverage for extra water should we need it.
Because, you know, it gets tiring paying for their mistakes.
I think everybody is of the same opinion.
Yeah.
Vern, you want to weigh in on this?
No, you guys are doing a good job.
Jim?
I just note a point of irony in the entire report. It says, at this point in time, the estimated total cost of the project is approximately $5 million. Well, if you turn the clock back a little ways to when they were going to retrofit the water treatment plant, their estimated total cost was $5 million, and that went to $30 million. And if you turn the clock back a little bit farther to that, to the retrofit of the dam, the estimated total project cost was $5 million, and that went to $25 million. So I wish the participants in this project the best of luck, but I would have to say this $5 million number that we're seeing here again is a little bit more than suspicious at this point, based on the track record there. So I agree with Pamela that the correct course of action would be to opt out.
Yeah, I feel that way too, and I believe that Aurora Grandy has opted out also. So any comments from the public on this? Bringing it back to the board.
And Pamela, you can get the full report at slowcountywater.org, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite long, and you just got a synopsis of the report.
Thank you very, very much.
Looking for a motion, please.
I move that we accept Officer Dean's recommendation and GM's recommendation and opt out of the spillway raise project from Zone 3.
I'd second that.
Do I need a roll call on this also?
Director Boosie?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Thank you very much. Made it for this length of time. If that time doesn't suit you, whatever time you would like, but I know we need to authorize some funding to be able to carry on business. Discussion? Jim?
I see that we have authorized previously a 45-day extension of our time to prepare a budget. And the purpose of putting that 45-day period of time was so that the budget could be prepared in that time. Unfortunately, I don't see that we're any closer to having a budget than we were 45 days ago. And there's a number of reasons for that. People have been out. We've had illnesses, so forth. And a number of things have befallen us, but there's two critical things that the district needs to achieve in the very short term. The first of those is the audits, and the second is this budget, and they're probably equally important. And whatever I would think that for the board, those two items are probably the highest priority things that we have in this district. I can't support this in good conscience because I don't believe that 45 days from now, if we authorize this, that we're going to be any closer to a budget. I don't even think we have a blank piece of paper that says draft 09-10 budget on the top of it after 45 days. So I'm disappointed in the whole situation, not in any individual or the staff per se, but I'm disappointed in the situation. And I don't know what to do other than I think the board has made it clear that the audit is an important priority for us. I think we've made it clear that a budget is an important priority for us. I don't have any other potential solution but just to say, you know, maybe we need to authorize every item, because this is effectively a blank check that allows the district to just operate on, and I don't have any confidence at this point that we're going to be any closer to an approved budget or an approvable budget.
Because I don't think we can sit here without some budget not...
Well, it's like the state. You cannot spend money unless you have a budget or
right.
something set forth. And maybe the idea would be to make it a smaller increment of time so we could get an update on the budget, or maybe get, you know, some sort of draft kind of thing that we can start looking at.
Okay.
I know there's a lot on everybody right now, but we're hoping that we will have a new general manager who can just step in and help pull us out of the fire. But maybe the best solution is smaller increments, and to know,
like September 1st?
Yeah.
That's...
I maybe do something like that.
Vern, what do you think?
That's fine. September 1st.
Mary, how do you feel about this?
Well, I actually am not in support of that. I'm sorry to say that, I think that our spending should be in the same place that our audit and our budget's at. You know, and if we don't have an audit for 2 years, which I can't even get over it still, and we don't even have a draft budget. We don't even get year-to-dates, you know. So, you know, only certain people really know the finances, and that's not transparency, and that's not... I shouldn't have to look at a budget 2 years ago to figure what we're doing this year, and I am not in favor of spending any money until... I at least have some kind of draft budget in front of me. Now with these kind of cuts, I think it would be irresponsible as a director, that the people asked to keep an eye on the funds, to keep, you know, so I'm sorry, but I can't support any extension. I didn't support the first one. I supported it symbolically to see that if it can move through, you know, and it was taken, you know, as, you know, instead of, I don't know how it was taken, you know, of, well, you know, just put those people off for a while or something. I don't know. But the first 45 days didn't work, and the second 45 days isn't going to work. And I'm sorry, but
well, if we don't
I say that the, I'm not going to, you know.
Everybody off and turn the lights off.
Well, maybe you should just
because
try to
you
get
can't,
it to,
you can't not pay... your staff, you cannot not pay the electric bill. You cannot not pay.
You cannot not operate without a budget.
Just to try and shed a little bit of light on this, you will be surprised to find that there is no statutory requirement that you have a budget. However, that said...
That's the problem.
It's also true that there is a constitutional prohibition in California on spending more than your expected revenues during the coming year. And there are lots of provisions in the government code, and particularly in the portions of the government code that deal with community services districts, that say you may do this and you may do that and you may do the other thing, all of which is premised on you having a budget. So it's sort of obvious that you should have a budget in place. And the concern that's expressed by a number of the board members is very well founded. But I do think the reality is also precisely what was stated by the president of the board. If you don't do an interim funding authorization, then you either have to send everybody home and turn off the lights, or have a budget adopted by August 15th, or on August 15th or 16th, you have to sit down and you have to say, over the next, whatever the time period is, week, 10 days, 2 weeks, months, here's a little mini budget. We authorize these expenditures over this limited period of time. It's very distasteful, but the traditional way that this is handled, and some people would say these are times when we should throw out business as usual, but the traditional way that these things are handled is some sort of interim funding resolution. It might be 45 days, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 30 days, but it's typically an interim funding resolution.
Let me ask you, is it possible that you could work from department that has their budget ready?
The board could sit down at, the short answer to your question is yes, you could. However, I think the people that actually work with the numbers would say, and I'm not sure about this, I'll defer to Gina, they'll say that the budgets are all interrelated, and so that sometimes if you approve, say, something in the water department, that's probably a bad example, say maybe the fire department, that has all sorts of implications for other departments, and it requires people in other departments to do things. So the practical reality might be that you might create an administrative nightmare.
Bigger than the one we have already?
Perhaps.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get how something that happens every year at the same time for every organization across the United States of America, everybody has the same, you know, you have a calendar year and a fiscal year. And, you know, I just don't get it. Why it's so hard for Oceano.
Well, I'm mindful of the council's comments, and I note that our next board meeting will be August 26th, which is in 2 weeks. I would be amenable to supporting a resolution extending the interim budget until August 26th, but absent some concrete evidence that we're moving forward to establish a proper budget, we're going to have to come up with, you know, something better to do, whether we have to hire additional people or...
We have hired people to help with the audit,
but you know, we can approve operation for 2 weeks and then approve all of the expenditures and during with the warrants in 2 weeks.
And see if you can get some concrete evidence of this too.
We have a finance meeting on
Monday. Get a finance committee together so that we could get some concrete evidence. And I don't know, you may have to do several. Maybe Monday is too soon, but this needs to be pushed on.
I would
second the motion to extend it to August 27th, this resolution for interim budget expenditures.
Do we have to change the amount that was written here? Would we not?
Salaries and benefits and everything, is that based on a weekly or bi-monthly?
No, that was based on the 45 days.
Yeah, but it's bi-monthly, every 2 weeks.
But this amount here was for 45 days. that amount was for 45 days.
So you took a third of it?
Since I didn't make a motion yet to be seconded, let me consider what a motion might look like. Council, perhaps you could help me with this, but I would suggest perhaps authorizing expenditures of up to $100,000 subject to approval of all warrants by the board for the continued operation of the district, including specifically salaries of staff and operation of the fire department for the next 2 weeks through August 27th, and again for the warrants to be approved at that time by the board pending the issuance of a budget for the 2009-10 fiscal year.
Well, the concept that you stated certainly makes sense. Typically what happens when you adopt a resolution, you've got the form of resolution in front of you, maybe you scratch through a word or two here. So I guess I'd like to see it in the form of precisely how we would edit resolution 2009-08.
So then are there any paychecks that are going to need to go out between now and then that would not go out?
I don't know. That's
there is a payroll next week. Payroll plus payroll taxes is about $40,000.
And then no payroll taxes would be paid on time either?
They have to be paid on time.
Well, they can if we have to approve
the
warrants.
No, but I mean, yeah, you're right, Vern. I'm not arguing with you.
Okay.
All right.
And then we got fines for that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to make those payroll deposits.
Well, if we authorize up to $60,000 for salaries and benefits and up to $40,000 for operations and maintenance, again, subject to warrants being approved by the board, that should allow for
warrants on operations and maintenance.
Mm-hmm. That should allow for
because the salaries and benefits are what they are.
They're probably set by contract.
Yeah. By law.
Are there any other late fees, fines, or anything else that we're going to end up paying because we don't have checks going out on time under the other stuff?
It's a little difficult to remember exactly which checks or which bills are going to come due within that two-week period. The insurance bills, I know, are about $9,000. One of them is due in that period.
The proposed amount for 45 days was going to be $120,000 for salaries and benefits and $87,000 for O&M. So I would propose that $60,000 for salaries and benefits and $40,000 for O&M sounds like a reasonable amount for 2 weeks, given that double that would be a 45-day amount.
So that would
suggest the language for the amendment. It would read exactly as it reads now, except in the last line of the first paragraph of the resolution, starting with the word through, it would read through August 26th.
We'll make it 27th.
27, 2009. The two categories for the dollar amounts would be changed to $60,000 for salaries and benefits, $40,000 for operations and maintenance, total budget $100,000, and there would be an additional 5 days, and now you're allocating $100,000 for 15 days. You should have plenty of money.
But nothing between now and the next board meeting for the board to approve the warrants.
No, you've got $40,000 allocated.
Only if they're approved by the board.
Well, we approve the warrants every meeting.
Yeah. Right. So nothing can go out until we approve them at the next meeting.
You're talking
which is
about
what happens
prepaid.
Anyway.
That's mm-hmm. He's talking about prepaid.
Don't we send warrants out when they're necessary, even before the warrants are approved? Yeah. Quite often. Yeah. Because the budget's approved at the beginning, you know, at each time. The budget's approved, so we So
that's the whole crux of the matter right there, Vern.
Well, then that's the way it's happening. I don't have a problem with any kind of changes. I just want to make sure this resolution is not going to end up costing us more money.
The worst case scenario, Vern, is you might get called into a special meeting.
Okay.
I think you'll be fine. I think we'll be fine.
All right, great.
In that case, I would move approval of resolution 2009-08, modified from what's in the board packet this evening, on the line that says through October 15th, 2009, to change that to say through October 27th, 2009.
No, through August.
I'm sorry, August. Thank you for the correction. August 27th, 2009. That the category of salaries and benefits would be authorized not to exceed $60,000. The category of operations and maintenance would be authorized not to exceed $40,000, with the provision that the board also would specifically review and approve all warrants for operation and maintenance.
I'd second that.
Any discussion? Any comments from the public? Not roll call, please.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to old business. There's no status change, so there's no report on drainage issues.
Yeah, was that in our packets or was that just...
I believe that the general manager distributed it in...
A special package, I think.
Right. I have a copy of it here if you'd like it.
Okay. Well, I didn't get any special packages. I just got the two.
Not this time. Prior to this time. Not with your packet for this evening.
All right.
Might have been a week ago.
And... Right. In his memo, he had mentioned several glitches. So those glitches have been rectified. And what was the date again? You said that...
The only concern was that we were not going to be ready for his original dates of August 6th and 7th. And he would be available on August 30th, excuse me, the 31st, September 1st and September 2nd.
So he would be ready for review of your documents?
To come out and do the field work, the final field work.
Okay, so he'll do the site visit the first week of September, and then usually how long does it take this company to put the audit together, usually?
Well, this is their second audit. Depending on if they have any questions after they complete their site work, they may ask us for a couple of other supporting documents. I don't remember exactly what the turnaround time was.
Month,
it was less than a month.
6 weeks. I'm just trying to figure out when we're going to have an audit, so, you know.
We could certainly send a memo, ask the general manager to send a memo to the auditor and ask them, they have asked for, what is their ETA on the audit report?
Okay, that would be appreciated.
Okay, review of the codification sections. There's no report on that. Nothing has changed on the district goals.
Can I just back up for a second to the sore spot of the audits? So let's just say, just to be comfortable, because you know how I am, make people uncomfortable. So say we'll have an audit of 07, let's see, 08, 09 by October. Would that be fair to say?
No, we're talking about the audit for 2007, 2008. We want to get the audit documents together that the auditor is going to need by August 31st, and at the same time, we're trying to work on the budget.
Yes, I understand that one, but I'm talking about the next audit that's
right,
missing.
Right, I understand what you're saying, too, but it's not going to take us through January to complete the 08 audit and the budget.
Okay. Because I don't know this CPA's schedule, or I don't know if they disappear into the Philippines for 2 months. A lot of them do.
All we know are the 3 days that they'll be here at this point.
Okay, so could you safely say, because, you know, we have these, you know, we're trying to, like, maybe get some federal money, and they have timelines, so, and they have things that they want. Would you say it would be fair to say that we should be able to be caught up on our audits? I think the budget stuff is just different, but January?
Well, certainly that's a realistic goal that we would like to meet.
Okay. So we should be all caught up on the audits and get ready to rip into 10, 11.
We certainly hope so.
Okay.
Anything else on the audit before I move on?
Just that hopefully we'll have the material from 08-09 ready for the auditor to start working on almost immediately, so that we can get that out in a most timely fashion.
Anybody else? Okay, back to this list. The review of the codification sections, we haven't been... right now, that has kind of dropped down a little bit. The 08-09 district goals, I don't believe we have any changes in that. And the fire consolidation continues. Do you have a meeting this Friday? No.
No, it's the last Friday of the month, because they had to change it.
Yeah.
And Pamela, due to the most recent information regarding the dollars, do you know if the fire consolidation, if they're going to be revising their budgets?
I imagine they will have to be doing that.
Can you ask them that?
Weed abatement, the fire hazard abatement.
Yeah,
so
that.
I do want to report something on that. Yeah. Do you want me to go ahead with that?
Yes,
then?
Please.
Since Jim brought up the little glitches we had with our fire hazard abatement, Chief Hubert was at our meeting last night, and he said that they have prepared a matrix for all of the cities that will be in the JPA. This is Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, and us. So they've prepared a matrix of the weed abatement programs and how they line up. They're going to be reviewing that, assessing how we're the same and different, and coming up with a fix for the policy and procedure so that we're all doing kind of the same thing, and so we won't have some of the little problems that came up with this last one. So that will be coming out at our next fire committee meeting. I'll have a more of a progress report on where that's going. But they are progressing with the matrix of what everybody's doing. He says we're not so far apart or not so different. So we're expecting, I'll have more to report at the next meeting.
Thank you. Jim.
I attended the Sanitation District meeting on August 5th. The most significant thing there was approval of the annual budget. Several of the employees attended that meeting. The employees of the Sanitation District work diligently to, as do the employees of our own district, but maintaining the Sanitation District plant, they do a lot of in-house work that saves a lot of money for the residents of all the three communities by doing the work in-house rather than what would commonly be contracted out in other organizations. So there's quite a bit of direct revenue saving that can be directly traced to the efforts of the Sanitation District staff. Nonetheless, the board approved budget had no increases for employee compensation in that due to the economic environment and the fact that the finances of the even the sanitation district, although they're not directly receiving property tax revenues, the for that was stopped, and when the other recreational vehicles might use dump stations such as LeSage, apparently there's a greater dilution of the material that comes into the plant, and the plant can handle that, although there are some additional chemical requirements and chemical use requirements to keep the plant operating as it's supposed to. So again, the message is that please don't discharge any chemicals or anything of that nature into the sewer system or down the drain, because that would cause the potentially the sanitation district plant to not be able to handle it, and could result in fines to the district, which results in fines to all of us, and our costs will go up. So please, if you see anything like suspicious activity that looks like things might being dumped in the sewer, and I'd advise everybody that only use just household products for your own use to avoid contaminating the sanitation district plant. The other item that was discussed there was approval of a contract for raising manholes on one of the influent lines. That was about it from the sanitation district.
Mr. Hill, did they discuss maybe sending a notice over to the wonderful California State Parks and Recs, since they have so many visitors who do have... are driving their RVs and stuff out onto the dunes, and then a lot of times just not properly disposing of their waste. So maybe if the sanitation district could just send a notice over there to say, you know, please educate your campers on how to properly dispose of all that formaldehyde in their tanks.
Hopefully they'd be using, if they do use formaldehyde or whatever chemical, would be used in a minimal amount, and then the material would be properly disposed of at LeSage, which is an approved dump station. Well, that dump station is also being rebuilt.
There's no mandates to dump at LeSage, nor people really aren't told where to dump. I'm speaking of...
I can see.
Yeah, so when they go through those gates, you should get a nice little flyer that says, hey, when you're leaving, here's where you go.
Yeah, my question is the same thing. So this formaldehyde is used in the holding tanks of the travel trailers, is what you're saying?
Apparently so.
And too much of it is being used, or...
It was being discharged through a medium that did not allow for sufficient dilution, so that it hit the sanitation district plant in a slug. Mm-hmm. And so, if they location has been closed, the LeSage dumping station is an authorized and proper dumping station that does not result, it has sufficient dilution at that location so that it doesn't result in the slugs that come into the plant.
Okay.
So the plant's able to handle diluted amounts of the chemical as long as it doesn't hit all at once.
So it was how it was emptied.
It was how it was being discharged rather than the fact that
emptied.
It was being discharged. Yes.
Okay, and so now they've gone to another dump station that does it properly, and we shouldn't have the problem anymore?
That's correct.
Are there any other authorized dump stations?
The only one I'm aware of is LeSage in this area.
It's only one corner market.
Is that all you have, Jim?
That's all I have.
Fern.
Well, we had our advisory council meeting on July 27th, and it was a rather short meeting. It basically, the only thing we covered was the impacts on the beach areas, and we're still working on that. We had one change to our to our subcommittee. One person was no longer able to attend, and Terry Sweetland is now a community person who lives in that area that is now on that subcommittee as well. And that's all I have to report.
I have a question, Vern. One of the things I think that your committee was proactive on was the painting on Pier Avenue of Do Not Block the Intersections. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's been brought to your attention now that it really does no good on the one side of the street because in a half an hour it's covered with sand and they can't see it coming off the beach.
Yeah.
Ask state parks if they could take care of that because it comes right off the beach. They stop there to put air in their tires and, you know, it's all tied up in nice big bags and stuff, but they fill the container, which doesn't hold too much, and then there were seven bags of trash.
Well, that, the duck pond's a county park, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're coming from...
I understand.
Because it's right on Pier Avenue. They don't go around on the other side. They just stop their air up and leave their trash. And a couple times I know when we've called them or said something, they've gone down and they've come up and taken care of it, or staff has called the garbage company to come out. But for the next probably 6 weeks, it's still summertime. You know, they're still a little busy on the beach.
Right.
Mary.
Well, all I have to report is that I am not going to be able to attend the Airport and Land Use Committee. I cannot leave my place of employment in the middle of the day. So I know that Director Dahl attends those meetings because he's fascinated by it all. Yeah. But so I'll have to get another committee assignment. And I was a little reluctant to bring it up right now in mid-cycle of the year. But other directors have already changed subcommittees, so, you know, I figured it probably wouldn't be much of an issue. So if the president would like to assign me to another committee, and my application for Zone 3 will be in the district this week. Does it go to you?
I don't know what application you're talking about.
Am I supposed to have an application, a narrative for Zone 3?
That goes before the Board of Supervisors, and they have to
approve
your... Okay,
so go through there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they do that usually, I don't know, once a year, but maybe they can
okay,
do it again.
Okay, well, we can do it. You know, whenever they do it, I'll have it in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can give you a sample.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will. So I'll need another committee, one that meets at night. 6 a.m. is nice.
We're back from our 5-minute break. We will now be adjourning to closed session. Alex, you want to take us into that, please?
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public. We have four items on the agenda tonight. I assume we're going to drop item 11C. Is that correct? Regarding the MOU?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is item 11A, a conference with legal counsel, contractor evaluation, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to evaluate the performance of district legal counsel. The second one is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being that of the general manager. And the last one is item number 11D, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 549569B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation, the matter being Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County lead case number CV770214.
Thank you.
Madam President, may I ask for a modification to this?
Can you use your microphone, please? We can't hear you.
Oh, I thought we were closed session.
You're on. There you go.
Madam President, may I ask if it's problematic if we could table 11A just simply for the fact that it would be a better evaluation after new staff comes on and that legal counsel's working on fiscal, some of the fiscal and contractual stuff right now? And
I'll leave it on until we go into closed session.
Okay.
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, these are the announcements coming out of closed session. With regard to item 11A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to evaluate the performance of district legal counsel, the evaluation was completed. With regard to item 11B, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being that of the general manager, the board received a report. With regard to...
Would you please take those in?
The water and sewer master plans, our goal is to schedule a water committee meeting by the end of August to go through the draft water master plan. The sewer one should be ready shortly. The water and sewer rate studies, right now we are gathering information and putting it in a different format to give to the Wallace Group for Tuckfield, since they are doing a rate study for the sanitation district. The general manager did speak with the Randall Funding and Development Group about when a contract should begin. Tentatively, they discussed October 1st, depending upon how things go between now and then, but nothing was finalized. The RFP for the exhaust system, district legal counsel has covered that. And on the sewer rehabilitation project, Kevin had asked Tony Navarro at the county for an explanation or a clarification. And Mr. Navarro wrote back that the state is involved with the funds that we receive, as the State Department of Housing and Community Development is the grant recipient of Disaster Recovery Initiative funds, or DRI funds. We don't exactly understand why, but apparently that's the way that it's done between the federal and the state. As he's learned over the years, they've questioned this before, thinking that it would be much faster if HUD were to directly award the DRI funds to the county, since after all, they are an entitlement jurisdiction and already receive these CDBG funds on an annual basis. And the DRI funds are the same as CDBG funds, but go through special legislation and directed towards areas hit by a natural disaster. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions from the board on any of those? Mary? Vern? Jim?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you very much, Gina.
And Kevin, is he in this week or not? Or
he's ill.
I know he's ill. Is he going to be out for the rest? Well, tomorrow's Friday, I guess.
I don't know. All I know about is today.
Yeah, he has tickly nose.
I think part of his
I don't either. A consideration of the warrants.
Consideration of the warrants. Did you pass those out to get them signed?
Pardon me?
Did you get the check signed yet? The warrants?
I didn't bring them in with me. I certainly can go get them.
Well, after they're approved,
right.
Somebody can sit here and sign them. Okay.
I guess I only had a couple questions on the warrants. The first one is I don't recall seeing Nationwide Retirement on there again. Is that a new contractor for
No, it's not. Previously, and for years after they changed from PEBSCO to Nationwide, they continued to accept the checks under the old name, and we finally just changed it to what they're really called.
I see. So that was the PEBSCO.
Right.
Okay. And just on the observation that I see, I think Mary mentioned it too, I see like $1,200 worth of office supplies on this month. I would just ask, in with all the other things that are going on, that we look at our sources of supply for some of those things and make sure that we're using low-cost printers and low-cost suppliers of that type of material.
A lot of the things that we do, use Staples as a main vendor, and they have their own brand. A lot of the items they do are recycled, like their paper and their inks. We try to do that as much as possible.
And Judy, can I just ask you about your Alltrex? Is the copier under a contract?
It's on a monthly contract, right?
It's on a monthly contract? It's right. Not leased? It's not a leased machine?
No, we bought it outright. It's a monthly
out,
maintenance
right?
contract.
Yeah, it's monthly maintenance. Because I'm just able to find a better rate for that machine than from Alltrex. So I didn't know if it was on a lease or not.
Any other questions or comments? Any from the public? Bring it back to the board.
One question. And Harold's hours, the $700 payment for Harold.
See, this was dated August 5th, and they were for the 2 weeks ending in July.
So it'd be July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Did there anybody have any questions on how the payroll is presented? It's a different format since we do direct deposits, and I know sometimes it's confusing.
I can understand it. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like zeros.
Right.
And the Wallace Group, that's the sewer stuff down there, or is that the new rate study that they're working on?
The Wallace bill is broken out with the sewer master plan, the sewer rehabilitation project, the water master plan, their administrative charges. Small amount of work on annexation.
Okay. And are they sending you a spreadsheet on that stuff? Because like on annexation, right, we need to know how much it's costing us for the annexation.
Certainly. Some of this we job cost automatically, but we have a running total on the bills each month of what the total cost to date is.
So he says, I did this many hours on the master plan, this many on this,
right.
This many on that. Okay.
And the hours are broken out on a daily basis by the particular person that worked on it.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then the newspapers are just... those wouldn't be ads that we ran for GM, would they?
Yeah, depends what page you're looking on.
Oh, I'm sorry, page 8.
Okay.
It's just $500 to Sloan County newspapers.
Sure.
San Luis Obispo County newspapers, yes, that was the last billing for advertising for the GM.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on the warrants? Looking for a motion to pay the bills?
I move that we pay the bills as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Now, thank you. We're down to public comment, last public comment of the evening. Written communications, any written communications received after this?
No, the only thing that I had was the information about the Prop 1A funds.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We stand adjourned.